God is first. In all things, following him is the priority. Should have that up there. Let's read that together. Read that with me. God is first. In all things, following him is the priority. That is our first core value. Thank you for the amen. That's awesome. That's the first of the Ten Commandments. The first four or five, depending on how you want to look at them. Jesus said the most important thing is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So it is only fitting that that is our first core value. That is our first of five core values. And this year, throughout the year, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be spending a series on each core value to really dig into them, really get into them. And Walt, by the way, awesome, awesome. And I'm a little confused because you acted like the thought was odd. That's not normal. Anybody else ADD here that can relate to me? That's the normal. Anyway, so yes, thank you so much, Walt. That was super profound communion. That'll be one to bring out again. Recycle that one, please. That was really cool. So we have five core values. We're spending a series on each core value to really dig into them. And the church should be shaped by these core values. That's what they are there for. They are there to do. They are there to remind us what's most important here at Miami Town. What is our guardrails? What keeps us between the lines? This is our focus. This is where we're headed. And it should cause changes in us as a church body that we should step it up. We should step it forward. We should move in our faith. And this should change things and move things and in a worship service experience. That it's not about what do I enjoy, but rather what can I bring? What can my soul bring to God in a worship experience? When we get to teaching of God's word, wherever it is, if it's like at a convention or a conference like we went to yesterday here or in one of our Sunday schools, or if you're visiting another church sometime on vacation or whatnot, anytime God's word is open and someone's teaching from it, we as a church, we as Miami Town Church of Christ, we should be thinking, what's the next tool that I can get that I can put in my toolbox? How can I apply whatever it is? And I don't care if the guy's boring as he can be. It's all right. Yesterday, we had a speaker that had great content, but he had a Joel Osteen cadence. Just everything was a da 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 da. And I'm telling you about four or five of those, and I'm just like, I see little circles. And I had to just keep focused because he had really good stuff to say, but he wasn't keeping my attention at all. I had to work hard. I don't know where my mind went in 50 different directions during his message. And I was like, this guy's got good stuff. Listen, listen, listen. That's what we have to do, church. It doesn't matter who it is. If they've got good stuff to bring, and if they're bringing it like this, and it's coming to you like that, then you have to be able to listen to it. All right? And we have to be able to go every time expecting, desiring to get something out of it that we can apply to our life that day to be able to step up and step forward. In our relationships, we got good relationships in this church. We even have great relationships in our church. But to move, fellowship's great. That's biblical. We need to keep that. But to move past that, beyond that, we pray for each other. That's biblical. That's great. But to move even further than that, where it gets personal, where we are really challenging each other and pushing each other and keeping each other accountable to kingdom work. Not just to add a boy, add a girl. It's good to see you on a Sunday morning. It's great to see you at a game night. But let's do things together. Let's serve together. Hey, we have this event. Are you going to be there? And not just coming from me or from the elders, but from everyone in the church saying we need to get involved. And that's another thing that these core values should be bringing is active involvement. Active involvement. Support is great, and we're getting that. But the next step up, the next step forward is active involvement, getting involved and seeing action take place. That we would all be, we heard some awful statistics yesterday that, and I didn't write them down to bring to us this morning, but it was something like 95 or 98%, if you can catch me, Ryan, if I'm off by that. It's one of those two of Christians have not brought someone to Christ in X amount of time. It was awful. And was it 98? 98%. Okay, Chris was there also. And where was the other? I heard another voice. Someone else that was there. There we go. April. 98%. church, we have to change this. We have to be about personal evangelism, sharing Jesus with other people, sharing your story with other people. And these core values should move that forward and push that forward. And every one of these are going to contribute to that, to being able to do that. So don't let that be intimidating. You do these five core values, you're going to be sharing Jesus with those around you. I guarantee it. So these core values that our view of the neighborhood should change. That the neighborhood is not just the zip code around the church building, but it's the zip codes of the church. We are the church. Anywhere you are, the people around you, that's the neighborhood of Miami Town Church of Christ. Because you're Miami Town Church of Christ. We are Miami Town Church of Christ together. So when we're talking about the neighborhood, when we're talking about community, when we're talking about helping those in the neighborhood or helping our neighbor as Jesus shared with the Good Samaritan, that's what we're thinking about. That's what our minds are projecting to. That we would have an unyielding devotion to God because we both fear him, which I think is lost in our current modern theology, but we need to understand God is a being to be feared and loved. Not just loved, not just feared, but both. Feared and loved. And that would inspire us to obey him out of both motivations. And that we would be available whenever and wherever we are called by God. And those are just some of the core things, some of the key things that these core values are going to be changing in our church to help us to step forward. Are we all on board together? Amen. Amen. Awesome, awesome. I thought we were. It's just always nice to get that confirmation. And so we are going to be inspired as a church. We're going to be inspired as individuals. And then as individuals, that in turn comes back and inspires the church. So we're finishing up on our first series today on our first core value. God is first in all things. Following him is the priority. The first week we talked about how God is first, and we talked about how everything else is second. If God is first, everything else is second. And I talked about Mary. And last week when I was reviewing, I said Martha. How many of you guys caught that? No one caught. Oh my goodness. I was thinking I was going to be able to thank someone for their grace of letting that slide and understand that I was talking about Mary. Okay, so for all of you, you need to pay attention. You need to let. That was a 101 catch. That was a 101, anyway, so I'm just joking. But we talked about Mary, and we talked about how Mary was a great example of what it meant to be still and know that God is God, and that it takes effort to slow down. It takes faith to sit down and to put everything else second. And we looked at some very practical things in that first message a few weeks ago, and how we can put God first in some very practical ways, very simple ways in our life. So I encourage you to go back and review all of these. These core values are going to be so very important for our church. Last week, we talked about some big topics, and we talked about how if God is first, then there's nothing greater. There's no greater relationship than our relationship with God. There's no greater treasure than the treasure of being part of the kingdom of God. There's no greater name than the name of Jesus, the Son of God. And then today, we're diving into the psychology, the mindset behind putting God first. What does it take in our head, in our mind, to shape that, to shift that? Because to put God first as the priority, that only happens by making a conscious decision. Let's write this down. What happens first in the mind comes first in the actions. What happens first in the mind comes first in our actions. And this is just the science of how our bodies work 101. This is just the basic anthropology, basic biology, basic psychology, whatever ology you want to bring into play there. It's just the basics. It's got to happen in the mind before it happens in the actions. It could be conscious. It could be subconscious. It could be something involuntary. We have involuntary, I mean, we all know that. You have involuntary things that your mind, our heart beats because our mind tells our heart to beat. Our heart doesn't beat if our mind doesn't tell it to beat. That's why it's so dangerous that our brain, actually our brain stem to be more specific, when it's injured or damaged, that's bad news. Because your heart is not getting a signal to tell it to beat anymore. Your lungs aren't getting a signal to tell them to breathe anymore. Every action that happens, involuntary, voluntary, conscious, subconscious, every action that we do comes from the mind first. And what's first in the mind is going to be first in the actions. So let's focus on the conscious decisions, because that's where we're going to put God first. It's the conscious actions that before setting God as the priority, or because setting God as the priority, that takes a conscious decision. So let's look at the conscious thoughts. What comes first in the mind comes first in the actions. Every choice, let's write this down, every choice is a priority judgment. Every choice. Everyone say every choice. Every choice is a priority judgment. I want you to think about it. Every choice you make is a choice that you have made based on some hierarchy that you have played. You have placed a priority. You have made a priority judgment on every choice. You've chosen this is better than this, or this is more important than this, or this has more value than this, or this is worth more than this. If you decided, you know, we're in March now, so we're getting a little far away from those New Year's resolutions. And maybe in January you said, you know what, I'm going to eat more healthy. I'm going to be more healthy about my diet. And you see that brownie, you know. And you're thinking, you know, it's more important for me to eat healthy than to eat that brownie. Even the brownie looks really, just really gooey and, you know, just the right. And it looks, and it would just be perfect with a scoop of ice cream. So that just adds even more calories and carbs. But you're saying, you know what? It's worth more. It's a priority judgment when you say I'm not going to eat the brownie because it's more important for me to eat healthy. It's also a priority judgment when you say, you know what? I'm going to eat the brownie because you're saying that's more important. This brownie this time, maybe it's a cheat day, whatever it is. Every decision, if you think about that, every decision you make is a priority judgment. You have prioritized, whether or not it's conscious or subconscious. And the change is we have to move things to conscious behavior to reprogram subconscious behavior. And so we have to think about that. And that takes that, I mean, that'll give you a headache if you just go through the day thinking every decision is a priority judgment. And this will help us to make priority judgments more clear when we have the mind of Christ, when our mind is set on the things that God would have us set them on. A couple verses here. We read from Romans chapter 12 earlier in this series. Let's revisit that. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your what? Mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You're not going to be able to know what God's will is unless your mind is being transformed. It's not going to happen when you're being conformed to the world. How are we going to know what God wants if our mind is so influenced by things of the world? Colossians 3 says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, so mind and heart, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, or you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. And in Romans 8:5 says something very similar. Those who live according to the flesh, so those who live, the actions, live according to the flesh, it's because they have their minds set on the flesh. What happens in the actions first, it happens in the mind before it happens in the actions. Those who live according to the flesh, it's because they have their mind set on the flesh. What happens in the mind first happens in the actions first. But those who live in accordance to the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. Let's write this down. We choose the priority that we focus our mind on. We choose the priority we focus our mind on. That is truth 101 right there. You can focus your mind on earthly things, or you can focus your mind on heavenly things. You can be conformed to the pattern of this world, or you can let your mind be transformed and renewed by God. You can focus your mind on that which the flesh desires, or you can focus your mind on what the Spirit desires. And if you focus your mind on what the flesh desires, then your actions are going to do what the flesh desires. If you focus your mind on what the Spirit desires, guess what? Your actions are going to do what the Spirit desires. You're going to live according to the Spirit if that's what's first in your mind. So it's very important that we look at that and we think, you know, every choice is a priority judgment. And the only way I want to get my priority judgment in line is to focus my mind on the correct things and to let my mind be transformed and to not be polluted by all the things around us. Church, it takes effort. It takes a lot of work to keep that focus. And every choice will come from what we have chosen is the priority that our mind is going to focus on. Every choice is going to come from that. Church, we don't always successfully burn the bridge to our old life. It should happen. It should have happened in baptism when we gave our life to Christ. We're done. The old is gone. We've been hidden with Christ. We've been buried with Christ, raised a new creation, a new creature. But how often? How often do we go back to those old ways, the old ways that we shouldn't be going back to? How often are we influenced by the things around us, the world around us, and our mind is then conformed? And then our focus is not on things of heaven, but it's on things of earth. Our focus is not on things of the spirit, but it's on things of the flesh. Our focus is not transformed and renewed by God, but our focus is going backwards and being conformed by the world. And if that's where it is, you're not going to make the priority judgments that God would want you to make. We have to be conscious of that, and we have to think about that. We consistently make choices based off the same priority. When we consistently make choices based off the same priority, then that becomes a lifestyle. When you're consistently making a choice, this choice, this choice, this choice, and it's all lining up, it's all in the same focus. You got guidelines, you got guardrails, these core values on our church. And you make choices in this line here, then you're going to form a lifestyle, one choice after another. Let's write this down. A lifestyle of obedience is the result of consistently choosing to submit to God. Let me read that again. That needs to really sink in. A lifestyle of obedience. So I think if I took a poll here, every one of us, well, all those of us who have called Jesus Lord, we would say, we want to obey God. We want to have a lifestyle of obedience to God. Here's the secret. The lifestyle of obedience is the result of consistently choosing to submit to God. Think about Noah. Noah was given a lot of details when he was given the plans for the ark, wasn't he? You guys remember that? He was told a specific type of wood to use. He was told to coat that wood with a specific material. God gave him the exact external dimensions. He told him that it was to have rooms throughout, that it was to have three levels, upper, middle, and lower, that it was to have a roof, but then underneath the roof there was to be an opening. Very, very specific about that. Very specific instructions about the door. Here's how you put the door on. This is where the door goes. Here's what the door is going to be used for. You're going to have all these animals. God told him how many animals to take. It wasn't just two of each in some cases. You had extras, and he even said, make sure you provide enough food. You plan for enough food for all of the animals on the ark and all of the people that are going to be on the ark, all of your family. Make sure that you can care for all of them. Make sure you're going to have extra animals for sacrifices while you're on there. The only way, and please listen to this, church, the only way to complete the full ark as God had told him, as God had designed, was to do each little part just as God told him to do. The only way to get the full picture was to do every part exactly the way God told him to do. Every choice in building the ark was a choice to submit to God's design of the ark. Think what would have happened. It would have been catastrophic. It would have been awful. But think of what would have happened if Noah would have skipped one thing. Did all of those things right, but decided, you know what, I'm not going to coat the wood. I think that's overkill. I don't, you know. Yeah. Or if he said, you know what, it's a mess to work with. It's tar. I want to get something that's a little easier to work with. You know what, we make huts. We put mud on the huts. It works just fine. In torrential downpour, in a flood situation, floating a big old ark, that mud's going to break down. It wouldn't have worked. Everything. I'm saying he followed, every cubit was measured out externally, and he did everything perfect, and he left out that one thing. Guess what? It would have sunk. It wouldn't have worked. If he would have followed everything, but he would have thought, you know what? I'm just going to do two levels instead of three levels. Or he said, I'm going to do four levels instead of three levels. Well, if he only did two levels, he might not have had enough floor space for all the animals. If he'd done four levels, did I say four the first time? If he'd done two levels, he might not have had enough floor space for all the animals. If he'd done four levels, he might not have had enough headroom for the tall animals. One thing off would have blown the whole project. Church, please hear that. please hear that, that a lifestyle of obedience is the result of consistently choosing to submit to God. Noah followed each step exactly as God gave it to him. He obeyed God by consistently choosing to submit to the details of God's plan. And I believe this is why Noah was the man that was chosen, because he had shown a history of this. Noah was a faithful man. He was shared that he was a man of faith, that he faithfully followed God. And I can only believe that that came because he consistently submitted the little things to God, and that added up to a lifestyle of faithfulness. He consistently chose to submit to God in the little things, and that's how he gained the reputation as someone who faithfully followed God. Genesis 6:22, very simple verse, a verse that would be very easy to read over this. Let's read this here. Noah did everything, just as God commanded him. Let's write this down. Everything happens by doing everything. We can almost close things and go home now. That right there, that's it. Everything happens by doing everything. Church, the weight and the volume of our lifestyle is formed by every little obedient choice we make. Every little choice to submit to God builds into a lifestyle of obedience. Everything happens by doing everything. Every little thing. It's like drops in a bucket. It's like watching a 50-gallon drum bucket be filled through a rainstorm. Drop by drop by drop. That's how it feels. A few years ago, we went as a family up to Boston and New York. It was a super memorable vacation. One of my favorites. One of my fondest memories of the family and being together. And I had no clue how much we were going to walk. I was really worried because our little one, we would do a lap around the zoo, and he was like, "Oh, I'm tired." And the zoo's not even a mile, and it feels more than a mile, but really, the zoo's not even a mile in the circle, the main circle of the zoo. And I was like, the Brooklyn Bridge is a solid mile. I remember having a conversation with Jess. Do you think he's going to be able to go over the Brooklyn Bridge? We had no clue that the Brooklyn Bridge was only going to be a portion of what we would walk in Boston and New York. You know, we averaged 8 miles a day on that vacation. 8 miles a day with a little dude that couldn't even do the zoo trip. So when we got back, guess what? You're good. I know what you can do. Do you know how many steps 8 miles is? A lot. Average, 16,000 steps a day. Do you know how those 8 miles happened? One step at a time. 15,998. 15,999. Church, everything happens by doing everything. Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart." A lot of us are familiar with this passage. "And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight." Trust in the Lord with all your heart. In all your ways submit to him. There is a direct correlation here. Let's go and write this down. Submission is directly proportional to our trust in him. When I was writing this, I knew it was going to be a heavy hitter. So stick with me, church, because we got more. We got more from God's word. Amen? It's going to move us. It's going to stretch us. It's going to be good for us. If you have a submission problem with our God, then you've got a trust problem. That's the truth. If you have a hard time submitting to him, you then have a hard time trusting him. They are directly proportional. You can't say that you trust God and not submit to him. It doesn't work that way. Those two go hand in hand. That's not putting God first to say, I trust him, but then you're not submitting to him. Think about the things in your life. Think about all the things in your life. You've got this going on or that going on, but this is more important than what God's work is. Okay, I trust God when it's convenient, when it's comfortable, but to submit to him means sacrificing. It means laying some things down. It means saying, you know what, I've got this going on, but God's called me to this, and this is more important. We can go to finances on that. You can go to your time. You can go to your talents. You can go to whatever. But church, if you're saying I trust God and you're not willing to submit to him, it's a bogus statement. It's an empty statement. Trust and submission go hand in hand. They are directly proportional to each other. The only way to submit to God is to put him first and to trust him and trust him only. And then you're going to submit to God. The only way to get your mind focused on godly things is to submit your mind to him. And you're not going to be able to submit your mind to him if you don't first trust him. It has to be the priority to put God first. Because whatever it is that we trust, that is the thing that we will submit to. Whatever it is that we trust, that's the thing that we're going to submit to. If you trust your money, if you trust your job, if you trust your hobbies for peace, that's where you're going to submit to. But if you trust God for provision instead of your job, if you trust God for security instead of your money, if you trust God for peace above your hobbies, then you're going to submit to his ways and he's going to be the focus. Sometime years ago, when I was going through a very difficult time in ministry, And I was sitting with a trusted friend at a restaurant, and we had been getting together at various times, just sharing about things, helping me to work through and think through things, and to be able to weather the storm that it was, the hurricane that it was. And we had chosen an out of the way spot in the restaurant, a little corner where it wasn't very populated, because we knew that we wanted to have a private conversation. And so we were talking about all the things that were going on, different things there, and sharing back and forth. And then my friend got a cell phone call, or got a call on his cell phone so that he had to take. So he took it, and there was only one person in that section of the restaurant with us, and I thought they were far enough away that they couldn't hear what was going on, but apparently they could. I got a tap on my shoulder, and this lady handed me this note, And so I opened it up, and here's what the note read. It said, Galatians 1:10, "Now am I trying to win the favor of men or of God? Do I seek to please men? If I were still seeking popularity with men, I should not be a bondservant of Christ, the Messiah." I told her jokingly, I said, I don't know how to take this. Is this a rebuke or is it an encouragement? She said it was meant as an encouragement to continue doing the right thing by God and not worry about men's opinions, but worry about God's opinions. And that note's right here. I framed that note. And that note sits right here on my computer, or my computer screen is right here, my main screen. And this note sits on the wall right behind it to remind me that's the focus. Church, that's not just the focus of a minister. That's the focus of a Christian. And that doesn't have to be during difficult times, easy times. That's all the time. Let's write this down. We will seek to please and obey the power that has the greatest priority in our life. That is truth. What power has the greatest priority in your life? You can tell. You can find it by seeing what you seek to please, what you seek to obey. A lifestyle of obedience is the result of consistently choosing to submit to God. And you're only going to submit to God if you trust God. That has to happen. That's directly proportional. But you're only going to want to submit to God if he's the one that you want to please, if he's the one that you want to obey. It's got to be a mind and it's got to be a heart correlation. You will only submit to God if he is the greatest priority in your life. And if he's the greatest priority in your life, then he's the one that you seek to please. He's the one that you seek to obey. John 14, 15 says, if you love me, very simple scriptures today. If you love me, keep my commandments. Let's write this down. The honesty of our love for God will be seen through the evidence of our choices. The honesty of our love for God will be seen through the evidence of our choices. That's truth. That is just raw, bare, gloves off truth shared from Jesus himself. If you love me, there's going to be evidence. There's going to be evidence in your actions. If you love me, there's going to be evidence in our choices. You can say all day long that you love Jesus. You can sing about it. You can raise your hands. You can bow somberly. The proof is in what you do. The proof is in how you live. The proof is evidence in the choices that you make on a day-to-day basis, on a moment-to-moment basis. And that's truth. Consistent choices to submit to him will result in a lifestyle of obedience. Let's talk about Jesus' example real quick of this mindset. Jesus set the example of a will focused on the Father. He did so in numerous ways. We're just going to look at three real quick. When Jesus prayed in the garden the night of his arrest, Matthew tells us that Jesus was sorrowful and troubled. He tells his disciples that his soul is overwhelmed with sorrow, even to the point of death. In Luke, we read that he was in so much anguish that drops of blood were coming off of his head like sweat dropping. Drops of sweat falling to the ground as blood. Let's write this down. Jesus showed us that a focused will can be a difficult struggle. A focused will can be a difficult struggle. A will focused on the Father's will is not something that happens by accident. Don't think that that's something that's just going to fall into place. That takes effort. To follow the Father, to give yourself to the Father's will, takes constant prayer. Prayer, and the exact prayer that Jesus prayed, not my will, but your will be done. When was the last time you prayed that? With sincerity of heart. Not my will, but your will. You know, second time he prayed in Matthew, he didn't even say, not my will. He just said, your will be done. It will be a difficult struggle to have a focused will. Putting God first will be a struggle at times. If it was a struggle for Jesus, the Son of God, won't you think it's going to be a struggle for us, mere humans? A focused will is not an easy thing. It's not something that accidentally happens. It happens purposefully. And it happens through struggles. And it happens through difficult. It's not an easy thing to happen. Jesus also showed us that a will focused on the Father can produce powerful results. Everyone say powerful results. A will focused on the Father can produce powerful results. Jesus said that not my will, but your will be done. And he meant it. And what happened? What happened after the arrest and the crucifixion? Well, it was the resurrection. Philippians chapter 2, we read this. And being found in the appearance of man, he humbled himself, even becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. And here's the rest of the story. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place, powerful results, and gave him the name that is above every name, powerful results, that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, powerful results, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Those are powerful results, church. And that doesn't come from a will that's floating everywhere. That comes from a will that's focused on the Father's will. A will that says, not my will, but your will be done. It's not easy. It's difficult. And it will be a struggle to keep that the center, to put God first, and to keep him as the priority. But let me assure you, the payoff is well worth it. Is well worth it. There are powerful results from following that. Jesus showed us that submitting to God allows us to be part of something greater than we see at the moment. This is another thing we see. Submitting to God allows us to be part of something greater than we see in the moment. Jesus wasn't looking forward to the cross. He went with anguish, such that his blood or his sweat was falling like drops of blood to the ground. Troubled, he said, to the point of death, his sorrow was so great. He didn't want to go to the cross. Then how can the Hebrews writer say what he says in chapter 12? Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. God is first. He is the priority in all things. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. I don't get that from the scene in Gethsemane. I don't get that from the scene at Golgotha. I don't get that when I read about him being scourged or made fun of, mocked, punched, spit upon. How's that joy? It's joy because after you come through on the other side, you realize you've been part of something bigger than you saw in the moment. It's joy because of the whole picture. It's joy because of what happened from that. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus knew that he was involved in something greater. Submitting to God allows us to be part of something greater than we see in the moment. It might be difficult to keep him focused. You might be in a difficult time, a difficult area, difficult things might be going on. But the way that you can be assured that you're part of something greater is to keep your will focused on his will, to submit your will to his. So that's Jesus' example at us. What about our example? What about our example? This is some might call it bold, some might call it arrogant. I think it's just plain truth. When you read what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11:1, follow my example. That's bold. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Church, every member of Miami Town Church of Christ should be able to say that very sentence. Every one of us, every day of our life, we should be able to say, you can follow my example because I'm following the example of Christ. And you can say that when you put him first. You can say that when your mind is focused on heavenly things and not earthly things, when your mind is being transformed and renewed and it's not being conformed by the pattern of this world. You can say that when every step, when everything is happening by everything, and you're submitting to God in all those things, and you're trusting in God, because you trust in him, you can submit to him. And all that's happening, all that's culminating, all that's coming together, as you're putting God first, he is the priority among all things, everything. He is the priority. And then you can be so bold as to say the same thing that Paul said to the Corinthian church. See, we don't want to say that. I think we don't want to say that. Because we know that's not true. And church, that needs to change. That should be a saying that every Christian around the world of all time since Christ should be able to say exactly what Paul said. That shouldn't be considered weird or it's weird to the world, but it shouldn't be considered weird to us. That should be the norm. That shouldn't be considered bold by us or, wow, that's kind of arrogant. We should look at that and say, that's exactly what it needs to be. because there's so much at stake. Let's write this down. I set the example for others because I follow the example of Christ. I set the example for others because I follow the example of Christ. I set the example for others because I follow the example of Christ. That only happens by putting him first. That only happens by having your mind set on that. That only happens through a lifestyle of obedience. If God is not first, if God is not first, if he is not the priority in all things, I will not be the example for others that I should be. Let's write that down. If God is not first, if he is not the priority in all things, I will not be the example for others that I should be. Church, there's a real eternity. I just got through last week. I was listening to a series from Craig Groeschel on 5 minutes After You Die. Really cool little three sermon series. Heaven's a real place. Hell's a real place. Our eternity with God is a reality. Our eternity in hell and punishment is a reality. That needs to mean something to us, church. That's lost its gravity in the church at large. And every bit of that is on you. Every bit of that is on me. Why? Because we are the Christians. Because we know the gospel message. Because we have been changed. Because our mind has been transformed and renewed, and we think differently. And because we think differently, we act differently. And because we act differently, we are seen differently. We are an example to others. This is what Christ is like. This is how Christ lives. This is how Christ views the world. This is how Christ cares for people. This is the compassion Christ has. This is the action Christ has. This is the very mind of Christ, because his Holy Spirit lives in me, limitless, as we shared earlier in the series. And you can follow my example. And I can say that with confidence because I follow the example of Christ. Every Christian should be able to say that. And it has eternal consequences. We need to be serious about that. We put God first. God is first. Following him is the priority in all things. Pray with me. Father, thank you so very much for all of these passages that we've looked at today, and we've kind of hopscotched around a bit. Father, I pray that you would help our minds to be focused, that you would help our wills to be focused, that we would have every thought and every action contribute to a lifestyle of obedience, so that we can be an example of who your son is. We know that that only happens through a conscious decision. So I ask right now that you would help us all, that you would lead us to the places in our life that we would need to repent of, the places where we've given other things more value than you, than that we've seek to please other things more than we seek to please you. We submit to other things because we trust them more than we trust you. Father, just break our hearts right now so that we can be formed more like your son. Lead us to your son, to his lifestyle. Father, I pray that everyone in this room would be able to say that we can follow. You can follow me because I follow the example of Christ. That should be something every one of us should be able to say. Father, help that to happen. I know that's what you want. We all know that's what you want. Help us to stand out of the way of that. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.